Afternoon, everyone. My name's Dean Cleaver. I was trying to think of something amusing to say actually about such a huge room with a small amount of people in, and the only thing that springs to mind is, you know when you want to see a really, really cool movie, so you go to the movie theater at a really quiet time. So let's pretend it's Saturday afternoon. This is something you really want to see, but you're avoiding all the crowds. That's going to make me feel a whole lot better. So we're going to talk for the next 45 minutes or so about the office store. I'm Dean Cleaver, like I said. I'm the product manager for the office store, which, as you probably know, was launched just over 12 months ago to coincide with the launch of Office 365. So we've got a fair amount to cover. Because there's a small audience, what we'll do is probably just push the lights up in a while, and we can just have a pretty interactive session towards the end if that's going to be useful. There's a few other supporting members of the team on the front row as well, so if there's questions at the end, feel free to come up and we can have some good conversations. So would it be possible to just put the lights up a bit for me, just to ask a couple of quick questions? Before I start any session on the store, because it's quite a new area for us, I always like to do a really quick sort of sanity check on who knows about the store. So let me start with a couple of questions. How many of you are aware that we have a store for Office and SharePoint apps? If you could raise your hands. Wow, that's great. Excellent. So how many of you have actually been to the store and downloaded an app from the Office and SharePoint store? Okay. So how many in the audience are actually building apps and have put them into the Office and SharePoint store? Cool. Well, you're in the right place. This is great. Thank you. So what I wanted to do is just take you through a really quick, high-level, a bit of history on the store, but I'm not going to dwell on this because it looks like 90% of the audience is fully aware of the store, are using it, building apps, and I hope making some good money in the store. So I'm just going to flick quickly through these. But a little bit of history, and I'm sure if you've been in the developer sessions earlier today that we've talked about the kind of history of where we've come from with the old add-ons and solutions for the older versions of Office. Then we moved to the suites and services, allowing you to build more connected solutions, especially on SharePoint with all the those customized solutions that ISVs and enterprise devs have built. Then we came up with the app model, allowing us to have a decoupled environment, but also allowing us to set up this new distribution model for you to build solutions and sell them or reach customers directly through the Office and SharePoint store. So like I said, we launched the store February 2013 to coincide with Office 365. And that's very much our V1 version of the store. And we just saw it as a great new way for the vibrant ecosystem of developers, of ISVs, to be able to reach out in a new and unique way all of those Office customers that are out there looking for increased productivity in their Office and SharePoint environments and business solutions and everything you can possibly imagine for that environment. And you know, needless to say, we've come a long way in the 12 months. We're continuing to invest heavily. We're very, very focused on getting feedback. We'll talk at the end about some of the forums that you can log questions and give us feedback on how things are going. But we're continuing to evolve the store, the distribution model, and I know you've heard from the various keynotes and Rob's session that was just on the amazing things that we're doing with the app model as well to allow you to build great and really amazing solutions, but also reach those users within context of the Office environment. So we get asked this a lot, so I've got a few questions and I've put together some answers at the end because it's always good to hit these things head on. But we get asked a lot how the store's doing, what's the momentum. You know, we've got a bunch of meetings with analysts and press, and it's always a common question. I'm not hiding behind the exponential thing instead of putting numbers up there, but because we're unable to disclose specific numbers, I'm going to use exponential. But we're seeing phenomenal growth with traffic to the Office and SharePoint store, with views of apps, and with downloads of apps as well. And when we look at some of the analysis internally on Office adoption data, Office usage data, and then app download and usage data as well. We're feeling really good about how we're trending with that phenomenal growth that we're seeing in the office business. So it's very much, a great opportunity. Within 12 months, we've hit some really, really good milestones, and some of the business targets and things that we set internally, we've smashed through very, very early on. So we're feeling really, really good about where we are. As of today, I think we've got around 750 apps in the store. Again, I'll hit the question head on. People say, why haven't we got tens of thousands of apps? We don't see the Office and SharePoint store as, that consumer app experience. We don't have aspirations to hit the tens of thousands of apps. What we see as success is a good number of high-quality solutions that allow people to do more productive work, for ISVs to reach their customers in a new way, to find new customers in a new way, for independent developers and startups to build a business really in a very low-cost or zero-cost way, to be able to get up and running and then immediately tap into the massive customer base of Office and SharePoint customers. And I think to reflect that, when we say the Office store is available in every single market that 365 is available in, that kind of gives you the sense of, if you want to build something, you can reach all of those customers in a very, very friction-free way. We have the commerce set up, we have the payout mechanism set up, so don't think that there's any obstacles in front of you to be able to get those apps in, and reach all those customers as well. And then just to put a bit more color on this as well, in July 2013, we opened up a whole bunch more storefronts. So we've got in France, Germany, Spain, Japan, and some additional storefronts to support those languages. We can actually localize the language descriptions of apps. We can merchandise to a totally different market for those. So last summer, we opened those up, and we also support those languages, which are French, German, Spanish, and Japanese. And then this summer, we're opening up 8 new storefronts, and then we're going to be opening a dedicated store in China, local language support for apps for China, Netherlands, Russia, Italy, and Brazil. So there's some, great opportunities in there, and I think if we haven't already, later this month, people will be able to start submitting their apps for those markets, testing them so they've got them in well in advance of the opening in the summer timeframe as well. So I'm going to drop into the store for a moment, and the reason I'm doing this is, not because any other reason, that we did a whole bunch of refresh pretty much in the last 24 hours. We had a great number of really great business apps submitted, which is very timely with it being SharePoint Conference. So I just wanted to switch over to that for a moment and just really give you a just to re-emphasize the business focus that we're taking for the store. And you can see the Office store front page was updated overnight. We've got some of the newer apps that have come in from PayPal, Dun & Bradstreet, literally the last couple of weeks. And I'm just going to jump through the sections and just show you some of the partner apps that are being featured. This great one from Harmony, which connects you seamlessly to SharePoint and to your contact data from within Outlook, as well as Yammer as well. Those guys are really doing some great things there. The Poll Everywhere app, which I'm sure everyone saw in the developer keynote this morning. And also a really great partner that's here at the conference as well, which is DocuSign. They've built a number of apps, actually, one for Word, one for Outlook, and also a SharePoint app. So it gives you some feel as to what some of the companies are doing. But also, we've got some great apps in there from independent developers as well that are getting some really good traction and doing some really innovative things as well. It's worth sort of calling out, and with this makeover that we did over the weekend of the store, just some of the things that we're seeing. And there was actually a blog post put up around a week ago on how to just drive more traffic and downloads to your app. Some of the things in that blog post, very, very basic guidance really, but it's something that by looking at the telemetry of the store, by looking at what's successful and what's not, or what's less successful in the store, and trying to identify just minor tweaks that people can do to their solutions to drive more visibility, more traction, and ultimately more downloads and more money for you as developers and ISVs as well. And not to mention some of these things are very beneficial just as much for enterprise developers. So that's just a really quick sneak peek of the changes that went into the store literally overnight. And I'd certainly encourage you to go take a look and look at some of those really cool business apps that we've got in the store currently. So one area that we think we've got a really unique value proposition is the way that you can reach users. Yeah, we've got a great storefront up there at office.com where the apps will appear and anyone can just browse them and look at them and everything else. But we've also got the unique experience of being able to reach users through the product itself. So I just wanted to spend a few minutes talking about the distribution choices and how you can kind of really leverage this technology to reach your end users and your customers through these different channels. The one thing I always like to differentiate, and I think it's something that we're very conscious of that we maybe talked about a little bit too much when we launched the Office Store, which is we have an Office Store and we also have the same capability internally for customers that have Office and SharePoint to be able to set up the app catalog and be able to distribute apps through the products to users in exactly the same way. So if you're a developer, or an enterprise developer, an independent developer, an ISV, you can absolutely build those solutions and then you can make your choice as to how you want to distribute those to reach users. So along the top, you can put them into the Office Store and reach those users after it's gone through the process, which I'll talk about in a moment. And then that can also go through the app catalog as well, which all can be controlled internally, so that we've given choice and flexibility on this. There's no difference in the way that you put the app packages together, on how you create the apps. It's just really how you reach the end users in a really, really seamless way that they are familiar with within Office. So just for a moment on the enterprise side of things with the app catalog, we're giving the internal IT folks the ability to be able to control and give secure access to internal apps or external apps that have been acquired or purchased from ISVs or independent developers that may have been purchased from the store and then distributed internally. But this gives the whole IT team the ability to really control the way that apps get out to users. There's a whole different level of control, if you like, on how IT can configure access to external apps as well. So, for example, it could be that everyone in the organization can browse apps, but if they actually want to purchase or download those apps, they need to put a request into IT for that to go into the app catalog and be available for everyone in the organization. So we've been really thoughtful on the way that you can control the use of apps within the organization. So what I'm going to do is switch into Office itself, because again, with SP1 released late last week, there were some subtle changes, but some really great changes to the ribbon on the way that people can find and acquire apps and the way that they're presented to them. I think one of the reasons, full transparency, is we also wanted to use this opportunity with the way that apps are presented is to drive awareness and drive increased awareness of apps within organizations and within customers as well. So I'm just going to drop into Excel. You can see I've got the new ribbon update in there. And also, we've actually pre-populated some of the products with a couple of, in this case, Microsoft-developed apps. So we've got the People Graph. We've got the Bing Maps app as well. And some of this was based on a whole bunch of telemetry and also user research on, by putting some icons in the ribbon, people immediately got to grips with where there are apps that can be built for Office. And it also got them to start seeking out additional apps, going to the Office Store and discovering more and more apps. And you can see in there, we actually, when you hover over it, it gives you a brief description of what it does and encourages users to dive straight in and get started on it. And again, we've changed the other piece on going to the store. So we've got a separate tab for the store, which I can just click on. And this is presenting up a curated set of apps within the products itself. You can see editor's picks recently added on those. But then I think the cool thing here is when I was talking about the corporate app catalog, and you can see here there's a bunch of internal test apps. I'm looking at my organization apps because they're coming straight out of the app catalog. And then also my apps, which I've been using over the last few days. I cleared a whole bunch of apps out prior to this presentation, but a couple of new apps in there that I've been recently using as well. So it's I could literally go straight into my apps as well through the ribbon. So with the whole discoverability, we've put a lot of thought into that as to how we want users to find out about apps and also get in there and start discovering them for themselves. And we're feeling really good about what that's going to drive from a internal usage within organizations of apps. But I think more importantly, awareness of apps themselves, driving users to go seek new apps within the Office store and driving that awareness overall. So I think the really interesting one we've got, and we are pretty unique here on the adoption scenarios that are possible within Office and SharePoint. And what I wanted to do here is just, I've got a couple of slides on, I think some really interesting examples. And I think some, especially with today's announcements, and there's some great examples of how some ISVs have jumped onto this very, very quickly, just on how you've got the Office store, you've got the app catalog, but also you've got this virality. I never can say that word, so viral adoption I'm going to switch to. On how apps can actually travel within documents and actually get that next user to activate that functionality as well. And we are pretty excited about what's been enabled and what's been announced on that today. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot more solutions around that. So this slide probably looks familiar. It's pretty much a copy and paste from one of Rob's builds earlier. But when we talk about contextual apps, you've got the ability to do that in all of the Office products, especially within Word and within Excel. And then with today's announcement, you've now got that ability to do that within PowerPoint. But the great thing about PowerPoint and Excel as of today, and you know, watch this space for the ability in other Office products going forward, is the ability for an Office Online user to open up that document with the app enabled in it. So the Poll Everywhere demo that you saw earlier, I'm not sure how clearly this was shown, but then that app can travel, or the app information can travel with it. So an Office Online user, the old Office web apps as we used to refer to them, that user can open and use that app functionality as well. So this whole kind of barrier of Office users, but pretty much when you think about, well, actually a browser-based user of Excel and PowerPoint, anyone out there who's got access to a browser has now got access to these apps that are traveling within the documents as well. So there's a whole bunch of scenarios that we're really encouraging people to think about on, you know, when you're thinking about getting something built to drive your business on, building something for the Office store itself, but also think about the way that you're going to get that app to grow. Think about the things that you can add to the app, drive continuous updates to the app, but also think about that spread of the app as well, the functionality that you can build into it that drives that viral adoption, that drives that initial user usefulness of it, but that usefulness can transfer to the next one. You know, it's that really cool interaction within Excel that's pulling in some corporate data. But if the next user sees it and go, wow, you know, it's a great way of charting it, I've actually got that app that I can use as well. So that's really, really cool stuff on the viral adoption of apps. And I just wanted to call out, I actually wanted to be courteous, the fact that all of these guys are actually sponsors as well, but they've put into the store in literally in the last week all of these partners put some amazing apps in there. Initially, one is called K2. They've actually got a session on their app tomorrow at 10:45, SPC 2000. Their app was published over the weekend. Really, really great app for them from SharePoint. K2, a really big, respected SharePoint partner. But also Nintex. Nintex this morning, they announced that they have over 1,000 unique customers using their cloud service. And you know, this is a great example of using the store for different ways of reaching customers. You know, the Nintex app is a very highly downloaded app from the store, but Nintex have got a great model of how they can you know, drive the trial of their product and then also help customers get the most value from it as well. Then you look at the DocuSign examples, that there's that complete usefulness of it from within the Word example and being able to create a contract, and then it saves it to OneDrive, and then the next user gets access to it and everything else, right through to the Outlook app that they've built, and also the SharePoint app as well, which has corporate usage. So I think that's a great kind of multi-tiered approach to how you can draw users in to what you want them to use within your app, but also there's that ability to get them to use more and more services on your solutions, more and more services within Office, and kind of move them up to the different versions and products that you have built. And we see that a little bit when we look at some of the assets in the store currently and the different versions. You know, you've got some basic level apps, you've got some sort of professional users, and then you've got the enterprise versions of the same app with different pricing models and different functionality. So we feel that we've enabled you know, these great different scenarios on the pricing model as well. So that's kind of the, I'm not going to say traditional, but these guys are in the store and driving some great traction there. I did want to, for a moment, want to call out the Poll Everywhere solution. And like I said, you know, that's available for anyone to download from the store. You just have to be a PowerPoint user. But then once you've got that charting interaction within PowerPoint, it can travel to a PowerPoint online user. And these guys have been phenomenal. I think they started to work on this app literally earlier this year, and it was published into the store to coincide with the new functionality that we literally announced this morning. And then finally, DocuSign, just giving those guys some visibility as well. And you can see all of these apps, like I said, in the store. So I know this is why a lot of people attend any session on the Office store, but it's a really big area for us. We want to make sure that you have the opportunity to reach customers, but more importantly, that you see this as an effective way of distributing your great solutions to customers. So I'm going to spend a couple of slides on the distribution channel, what actually happens to the app to go through, and then also talk about the different monetization models as well. So when we look at the top process, which is I want to submit an app, I want to build an app, and I want to sell it in the Office store. And the first step of that, and we've got a partner there, but it's any sort of developer that wants to build an app for the store and submit it. So you build the app, you then create your seller dashboard account. Worth calling out there, there is absolutely no cost involved in setting up an account, selling an app, submitting an app. There are no costs involved in that. And again, you know, for an independent developer, a small startup, or a large ISV, that ability to reach those 142 markets, all of those countries, is available by just building something and going through this process and submitting it in. So then the next step in the process, when you submit that app, you've got all your company information set up in the seller dashboard. It actually goes into our validation process. All of the validation policies are published on dev.office.com, so you can actually check in there what's been looked for and everything else, and that's constantly updated, so you can confidently know what's going to be looked out for within that process. Then once it gets through app validation, it appears up in the Office store, and as I've just shown, that's automatically put in there, it's curated, and it's available for anyone that goes to that store or browses through all of the different Office products. Then, of course, there's the direct model, which, you know, for some companies, this will remain the only way that they will transact with customers. We recognize that everyone has got big, established business models with sales teams or direct relationships with their customers. So in this case, you still follow exactly the same methodologies and design disciplines to build your solution. You just sell it directly to the customer. We use this term of sideloading, and the customer will just sideload it into their environment, make it available to all of their users through the app catalog, and the same experiences for the users, like I showed. It will just pop up for them as if it's coming directly from the Office store. The interesting thing here that I wanted to point out is that there's a whole bunch of options in between that as well. So under any means, you shouldn't feel like this is a way that you have to put something into the store, you have to use the transaction and the commerce model through the store. You can kind of pick and choose how this works for you, and many of the ISVs do as well. So going through that scenario in a slightly different way, you want to build a solution, you want to drive it into customers that you've never transacted with before. So you build that app as a trial, have it as a time trial. You submit it into the store, it goes through the same validation process. A bunch of users or a customer downloads it, they use it for their trial period. But then at the end of that trial, you can actually transact with the customer direct. You could choose to sell them the full version of the product, or you could kind of move them onto a subscription model. Or if you stayed along the top bar, you've also got the option of, okay, the customer loved it. Now the next thing is to, I'm going to sign up and take on this paid version of the app. So we've got this whole flexible model on how you can use it. So you can see the store as a storefront. You can use it as a brand new distribution mechanism, or you can use it just as simply as reaching new customers in a pretty seamless way with zero investment cost, and just driving great visibility out into the Office community. And like I said, some of the big ISVs are using this really, really successfully. They're getting great new business with some pretty large customers that they've never met before, transacted with before, and leading to trials. And then at that point, like I'm pointing out, that they kind of step out of it. The pop-up at the end of the trial could be, just contact us so they can actually plug one of their account teams in and pick up the sales process from there. And we're totally good with all of those different options. The net effect for us is that the customer is getting more out of the platform, they're getting more out of the ecosystem, and we get happy customers and we get happy partners, ISVs, and developers as well. So some other choices you've got when you submit to the store is you can choose the languages that you want. So like I said, we opened up a bunch of language support last July. This summer we'll open up a whole load more with a number of brand new markets as well. The interest around the China as a region and as a brand new market, and the ability to build something and transact and reach all of those customers in a brand new market is certainly proving appealing to some of the partners and developers out there. So at submission time of your app, you can make those decisions on which languages is my app going to support, and make them, obviously, if you built it, make it available in those languages. You can handpick the markets that you want to sell within, so if there is a reason that your app is not relevant or you don't have the ability to support a certain region or geography, you can opt out of those markets. So you can be really selective and targeted as to which users will actually be able to see and download and use your app as well. Then you've got all the different pricing options, which I'll run through in a moment. So there's a whole bunch of choices, and I definitely encourage you prior to the submission process, and even as you're developing your app, whether you're going to do different versions of it and a premium version, really think about how you want to reach those users, which markets you want to go for, which markets you're comfortable supporting, and also the pricing models as well. I think in the early days of the store, the early days, it's only been going 12 months, but the first few months of the store, I think there was a bit of people testing out different price points in there as well, you know, what was going to fly, what wasn't. I think we're seeing a lot more settlement now on, especially with the introduction of subscription pricing on, people have kind of found the right price points for their apps as well. But again, this is a great way for you to get something out there, whether it be a free version of an app. The really powerful thing is here, you're going to be able to get pretty much real-time feedback through user reviews, address that, or suggested enhancements to the app as well. And like I said, being able to resubmit that app without any additional cost to you is a major plus as well. So like I said, Office 365 gives you the store access, and there's no kind of hurdle to having to pay for anything to be able to set up that seller account. If you choose to take the Microsoft Commerce model, the revenue share is that Microsoft will take a 20% cut of that revenue. There's no kind of trigger point for that 20%. It's literally from the first dollar all the way up to the millionth dollar, hopefully, on your part. So that kind of stays and remains. And people are taking a different view on what that means to them, especially smaller developers and smaller ISVs are saying, well, this is a great way of reaching all of those different markets. The commerce model is in place. There's nothing we need to do apart from build amazing apps, submit them to the store, and work out how we're going to spend that money. So then on the other hand, like I talked through, the different options to be able to, actually, we might want to do something slightly differently here, so we're going to choose to use our own commerce model. And then also some of the conversations with different ISVs as well. It's, well, actually, for the small and medium business, we think we're going to go this route directly through the store and transact through the store. For those enterprise customers, we feel that the personal relationship we've developed is the right way to continue with that. So we will just use this as a way of driving new customers to our products and be able to drive business that way and then maintain an existing selling motion as well, which sounds like a great way of exploiting the flexibility of the store and the commerce model. So as you can see, we have a whole bunch of flexible licensing options, which are all handled within the store. They're all controlled within the store, so you can have that confidence that when you choose these different options, that they will be managed for you through the licensing within the store model. So you have the free option if you want to use it as a way of driving awareness of your organization or a cut-down version of an enterprise solution that you have. Great way of doing that. The trial could lead to the phone call, like I said, to your organization. It can lead to a paid version of the app. The perpetual, so you can literally just sell the app as a one-off. And some of the ISVs have been kind of testing out these different models. The per-seat pricing, and then the organization-wide pricing. And then in November, December last year, we turned on subscription pricing, which we had a lot of requests for, and we've had a lot of positive feedback from developers and ISVs that are utilizing that. And it feels more comfortable, we think, to customers that are paying for 365 in that monthly way to be able to subscribe to the app in a monthly subscription as well. And it feels like a great way to continue to innovate on solutions that the customer's paying for on a subscription basis, and there's that incentive to continually increase innovation, very much like it's happening with the 365 platform, but being able to kind of make sure those customers are happy, keep the stickiness with these apps, and keep them subscribing to those solutions as well. And of course, with today's announcements and the regular changes that we're going to bring to the app model, you know, we're going to increase the capabilities that you can build against. You can then increase the capabilities of the apps, and then you can continue to drive those subscriptions as well. So it's a great way of really sort of driving that customer relationship and keeping customers happy as well. So like I said at the start, I didn't want to kind of duck away from any of the kind of obvious questions. So I've put a bunch up, and if I could ask for the lights to come up, and we can open it up to Q&A. So I'm going to run through some of the standard ones, and then we'll jump through into that as well. So we're 12 months in with the Office Store, and I think we get asked this question less and less, but it's something that I still wanted to throw out there, which is, when should I start building apps? You know, when's the right time to it? And I think you'd expect me to say this, but it really is the right time. It is now. We've seen the success of people that are in the store. We're seeing the positive feedback we're getting. We can commit to you that we continue to invest in the store model, the commerce model, and everything else. But we're also seeing the metrics move very, very well in the right direction as well, which kind of leads me on to the next one. You know, how many visitors to the store? Not giving numbers, but like I said, exponential growth. We are obsessing over the telemetry of store visits, what people do when they get to the store, what are they looking at, what do they do when they go into an app, do they use those apps, everything else. So that's what we've been really, really thoughtful on. The ribbon enhancements are just a minor thing that we wanted to do to drive awareness of apps and the store and everything else. You'll start to see us talk more and more vocally about the store, the benefits of the store. And I think you'll probably have seen with some of today's announcements from the partners as well that they're talking about it in their press releases as well. So who is making money in the store? If only I could say. So we only see part of the story. And what we do see is really, really positive traction with downloads, with trials, with subscriptions. There are people making some good money in the store as well. There are a lot of people that are making money outside of the store. Like I said, they've chosen to go their own route with the commerce model. So, you know, we're feeling really good about, we've set this platform up, we're at V1, we're continuing to invest, but the traffic is coming to the store, the downloads are happening, the downloads are growing. And the feedback that we're getting, and we meet with a lot of ISVs, a lot of developers, we're constantly just checking in on how people are doing, what we could do to make it easier for them. And I'll share some of the forums that you can do that at the end as well. So we're feeling good about that. We'll feel even better when there's some people that are in the store that are retiring after a few months. But, you know, we're on the right track with things. Another thing is, where do I start? You know, you've built this great store. I'm ready for it. I'm maybe building for other app stores out there. Where do I go and get the information? Where do I get started? And this morning, we rebranded the whole dev.office.com site. Literally, go straight to that site. It tells you everything that you need to know, literally from a where do I go, where do I get the tools to start building apps, how do I sell. We've got three different forums on there, which are staffed by our customer support teams and some of the engineering teams as well, which is developing apps for SharePoint, developing apps for Office, and also selling within the store as well. So if you've got questions about any of those three areas, we have dedicated forums at dev.office.com. We've got pretty much all the training that you would need. We have our Ignite training, which I think was 4 or 5 days solid of training to build. If you're coming from existing developer environments, you don't need to learn anything new, and probably seeing more of those developers get started quicker because they have no learning curve on some of the web dev models. They're just pretty much getting what they've built already or getting their great ideas and getting them straight into the store. And then the final one, is this a business store? And we've had some feedback on that, especially in the first few months, as to a little bit of commentary on the inventory within the store. But I think, again, you know, and I really wanted to highlight that earlier by just taking you for a quick tour of the store, and especially, like I said, in the last 24 hours, some of those big ISVs that have invested, that have got into the store, some of the big brand names that are there. And there are more to come as well. You know, we check in on how people are doing on signing up for accounts, who are getting ready to submit and everything else. In January, February, we had our busiest month ever for app submissions, but also, more importantly, app updates as well, which we think is a great reflection on. People are invested, people are getting good feedback, and they felt the time was right, especially leading into a conference such as this, that they wanted to update and create some new functionality within their apps as well. And that left our AppSure team with a really, really busy month, which was great to hear as well. You'll probably see if you head into the expo hall over the next few days, we have a great app village set up where we're showcasing a lot of the finalists for the app awards, which are taking place later today. So go check those out, because there's some great apps in there as well. A lot of them from companies that not worked with very closely as well. So it's great to see, you know, startups and new names appearing, building great solutions within Office as well. Office Store Evolution. Not really much to say on this one. In fact, when I was doing a check-in with someone earlier, they suggested I remove this slide. So we've got, we have an Office Store refresh coming later this year. We have a lot of work going into the store, and I think you'll be really pleased with what we come up with as well. All of this is based, again, on the telemetry we're getting, the user feedback, what's working, what's not. And again, the sole purpose of this is to make the discovery and the acquisition of great apps for Office and SharePoint a lot easier for users and for organizations. So I think that takes us to about 45 minutes. So I'm totally open for questions now if you have some questions. Sure.
And as we look at, do we move to the store or not, one of the things that keeps turning up in our developer community is, are we making choices that limit our ability to get into the store by is it app-only permissions, is it an auto-hosted app, using proprietary model versus WordPress? Are those things limiting, are those in the validation process used to determine whether an app gets into the store?
There are some things you may need to think about around the store policies and things like that. And the reason for that is because we want the ability for you as developers to continually update those apps as well. But also, if we're pushing updates to 365, we don't want to go and break those apps as well. So the policies are there to make sure you're really following the app model guidance closely on it. So there are a few things to check out. It's worth taking a look at the store policies at dev.office.com on that. But if you want to have a chat after the session, there's some of the team from the AppShore team here as well who'd be more than happy to have a chat with you on that as well. The question was around building up your cost model on auto-hosted apps and working out your Azure cost, I guess, relative to the app cost. That's a really great question, and it's something that you need to be very thoughtful about as to what those Azure costs are going to be in relation to it. I don't think we have any kind of pricing models to kind of help you work with that, but we have had some interesting meetings with ISVs on helping them kind of come up with that. But again, if you wanted to have a chat at the end of the session, one of our business planning team is on the front row as well, so we could have a little chat with you on that as well. And that is, that's why I do a quick straw poll at the start of every session, and this was probably the highest kind of awareness, not surprising that we're at SharePoint conference, but we know we've got a lot of work to do on awareness of the store, the app model, both within customers, within developer community, and within the partner community as well. But yeah, we need to talk about the store more as part of the Office 365 and SharePoint all-up value proposition, which we're looking at, taking a look at how we do in the our next quarter of this fiscal year. But also some of it is field awareness within Microsoft as well, that talking about how customers can take advantage of both the app catalog and also the app model as well, and what they should be looking out for on that as well. Correct. Yeah, and I think that's the work we're trying to do on, you know, who do you want to reach as developers and ISVs as well? There's the business users, but there's also the IT users as well, and there's all these audiences that we want to have them be able to look at and try out great apps. But then on the back of that, there's also the purchasing kind of process as well. But yeah, it's great feedback, and thank you. It's consistent with what we've heard, and we've got some work to do. Any other questions? For the different regions. So the question was, do the different local stores, are they treated as separate stores or the same store? So they're actually the same store. They're just presented to the users in that market through there. It will pick up where they're coming from, the language settings of their machines, and it will present to them the apps in that market as well. But the submission process for a developer or an ISV is the same. You just choose the markets that you want to sell to when you submit that app. It does. It would, whichever ones you select, it would surface up in those different markets. Yes, and it's all a single platform. Yeah. It's pretty minimal. Thank you. The question was, how much effort is it to submit an app end to end? So the first part of the process is create your seller dashboard account, which is, you know, a very minimal exercise on company information and everything else. That then goes through a check, no effort on your part. Once that's set up, it's a case of just submitting the app package itself, and then it. Oh, for it to be validated and then published into the store. We don't have a set service level on it, but it's very, very, it's very quick. It's days rather than weeks. We don't publish a service level agreement on it, but recently, you know, in the run-up to the conference, we've been seeing apps that are submitted pretty much published within 24, 48 hours. Yeah. So you could have one in by Thursday. Any other questions? What I'll do is I'll publish them to the Yammer group straight afterwards on all the different markets that we've got, a list of those. It does, yeah. So the question was getting an update or an enhancement to the app and how quickly that gets out there. So you just update the app or republish the app, it would go through the validation and then it would be distributed out to the users. Yeah. And David, who's from our Omex team over in Ireland, just said you can actually add test notes to that as well. So they know what to look out for and they can accelerate that through the process and get it straight out to your user base. There was another question about it.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you.
So, With a billion Office users, that seems like a pretty big addressable market, which I guess the question is, where do you see gaps that aren't being addressed by core Office functionality where developers could, you know, jump in? And maybe from a regional perspective, like in Brazil, you know, they need X, or China, they need Y.
Sure. No, that's a great question. And I think, tongue-in-cheek, if I knew the answer to that, I probably wouldn't be standing here today. But I think, you know, excuse my terrible sense of humor, but we see a lot of what the ISVs are doing. You know, looking ahead, you know, we've built this platform, and Rob and the team this morning, you know, talking through it, and we've just got this amazing platform. And I think you can look at Office users, and I'd encourage you to take a look at the vision video that we published as well. I'll drop the link into the Yammer group as well. But really just think about, where do you think you can add value? It's, you know, do you want to focus on a specific industry? Is it small law firms who can't, you know, extend themselves to buy large enterprise products? And, you know, there's two or three of them in that law office. But you think you could build some amazing functionality that would help them be more productive as a group? All the way up to, is there some niche solution that an enterprise could need as well? You know, and you've got the ability to reach them all. And I'm not answering your question, I'm kind of dancing around it, but, you know, or choose a market, choose a segment, choose something within one of the products that maybe you'd like to do differently, and you could build and immediately get it out there. And you know, I think all of us over coffee sometimes, you know, we've had a day that we feel we could have been more productive, and if only it could do that. And I think that's what we're seeing coming through in some of the app submissions. You know, again, looking at the poll everywhere solution, you know, it's a great solution that I think in years gone by, organizations rented out clickers for the whole audience, and now those guys have built something that surfaces up in PowerPoint, and it's a subscription app that can be activated within a few minutes. So I'd definitely encourage you to kind of look around, look at what's out there, look at some of the examples in the store as well on some of the kind of niche solutions that are being developed for specific markets or specific products. You know, there's so much surface area in all of the different products to do that. So, yep, the canvas is yours. Yep. Got it. So the question there was, if there's an update or enhancement needed urgently for an app, is it possible to distribute the release notes prior to the app being updated? So if there was a really serious issue, David is saying that you could tell us about it and we can actually publish the URL down to users. Because of PII issues, we couldn't allow you to interface with users directly, but if it was something very, very urgent that was affecting users, then we could drive that down. Yes. Yeah. The question there was: is there a policy around apps that are behaving in a erratic manner, if you like, or doing something that they shouldn't? So yeah, there is a process that apps can be taken down and you know, remotely disabled on that as well. And we have a whole series of processes and capabilities to handle that. Yeah. That's a really good question. It's not one I'm able to answer, but I can certainly grab your card and point you to the right place to answer that. Yep. Yep. Yeah, and the feedback there was the whole kind of reporting and analytics and payout information and everything else. If you've got a few minutes afterwards, there are a couple of people on the front row that would love to get your feedback. And yes, we have a lot of improvements planned in that area, for sure. Any more questions before we wrap up? So I'm going to publish everything to the Session Yammer group if we want to keep the conversation going. A few of us are around all week, so if you have some really deep feedback you'd like to share with us, drop something onto the Yammer group and we'll reach out for you and try and grab 30 minutes as well, because we are really, really receptive to feedback, especially with people that have apps in the store already and have got first-hand experience of it. Let me just put up some of the links. And again, I'll publish these all to the group, dev.office.com, the forums, the feedback piece, and then also everything that was in the keynotes this morning as well. We're talking about adding something to the SP user voice as well, so you can give us feedback on the store piece as well in a more formal environment. So I know it was a small, intimate crowd, but thank you for taking the time.